And there came a day, unlike any other, when a group of like-minded individuals were united in deep discussion through a weekly movie podcast. On that day, that film stew was born, to bring you reviews and news about the latest and upcoming movies and TV shows. This is That Film Stew.
Hello and welcome to That Film Stew. I'm Luke.
And I'm Jason.
And this is That Movie Review. It's been the much anticipated blockbuster showdown between two comic book titans. And today we'll finally be able to discuss Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. As this is a movie review show, there will be spoilers. In a follow-up to 2013's Man of Steel, this is the second installment in DC's cinematic universe. This movie, which is also directed by Zack Snyder, is notable for featuring the first live-action film appearance of the Superman and Batman characters together, as well as the first live-action film appearance of Wonder Woman, Aquaman, The Flash, and Cyborg. We get a new Batman, different to that of previous on-screen appearances, and a new interpretation of Lex Luthor, and a select few returning faces from Man of Steel.
All right, well, you sound as excited as hell to get into this.
There's a lot to get through, so do you want to start us off with plot?
Let's get this moving. Set 18 months after the destructive events in Metropolis, which saw Superman take on General Zod, Superman, played by Henry Cavill, has become a controversial figure. Whilst the world wrestles with what kind of hero it really needs, Batman, played by Ben Affleck, fearing the actions of Superman are being left unchecked, takes on the Man of Steel. With Lex Luthor, played by Jesse Eisenberg, having his own motives for having the Dark Knight and Superman fight to the death, he creates a new threat in Doomsday. It's up to Superman and Batman to set aside their differences, along with Wonder Woman, who is played by Gal Gadot, to stop Lex Luthor and Doomsday from destroying Metropolis.
Okay, so let's start off with Batman. This, I think, after Man of Steel, we would have thought this movie would have been Man of Steel 2. Well, let's start with Batman, because I think, you'd agree, he does take centre stage here.
It's a heavy... it's heavy on the Batman content. He's in there. I mean, the opening credits play over a Batman introduction.
That, I've got to say, that is my favourite ever interpretation of the death of the Waynes. It's almost like a short movie, like a movie within itself.
It's a short film, yeah. It's a little art piece, and it's very cool. Straight away, I was like, I'm into this. I mean, they're the opening moments of this movie, and it hooks you straight away. And you're like, okay, I think we're in for something sweet. And then the rest of the movie happens. But we'll get into that.
We'll get to it. Okay, so let's stay with Batman. So Ben Affleck.
I think, fine. Can't really fault the guy. You know, he's not a bad actor at all. And I think he makes a good Batman.
Affleck is fantastic as Batman and Bruce Wayne.
My gripe with the Bruce Wayne aspect of this is that, yeah, you do see him obviously as Bruce Wayne. And by that, I mean, he's not wearing the Batman mask at all times. But when you do see him as Bruce Wayne, you're not really getting the Bruce Wayne character. You know, you see him either in private moments, either by himself with Alfred, or, you know, doing, you know, like covert sort of little, basically Batman stuff, but just without the mask and the cape and all that. So you don't really get the Bruce Wayne side.
I disagree. He completely sold me on the Bruce Wayne personality. The way that he's flirting with, when we first see Wonder Woman, Diana Prince.
Okay, you do get some moments. I'll admit that. Yep.
When he's Bruce Wayne, he sells me on it, but we're getting, he's 20 years into being the Caped Crusader. We've got a Batman or a Bruce Wayne that drinks wine for breakfast. This is a different Bruce Wayne.
I guess there are very minor details that, I guess, shine through a bit more. I guess I'm looking for the playboy, you know, billionaire kind of guy who's sort of flaunting around, but really, you know, he just... I guess it's just the scenes that you saw. You didn't get to see him really put on a show as Bruce Wayne, you know. He didn't have the need to do it. That's more what it is. I'm sure the character's there, and it's not like they didn't get to it. They just didn't have those scenes for him.
For me, I could see the Bruce Wayne that you're talking about, but I guess in a Batman movie where the focus is just on him, you'll see all
you'll
that.
You'll see it, and I'm expecting that he's going to knock it out of the park. So I'm not concerned too much with it. I just feel like this movie didn't have a Bruce Wayne.
Well, based on this movie, immediately, my favourite Batman.
I think we can make that judgment straight away. Obviously, that's your thoughts. I agree. What you're getting is a live-action Batman that I don't think we've seen. What we've been missing is, you know, gadgets, grappling hooks, smoke screens, all that kind of crap. It's cool.
It is. And one of my favorite things, well, we're talking gadgets, the voice modulator that he uses.
Yeah, there ain't no, I'm Batman. There's a computerized, in a way.
Yes, it gives him a more unnatural, altered voice.
Yeah, who is this menacing creature? It's not real. It's not a man.
And a DC connection, if you've seen Arrow, Oliver Queen, Green Arrow, also uses a voice modulator.
That makes this not as exciting anymore than when you say that.
But it's still great. I mean, it works. Like, I saw it on Arrow, and I'm like, yeah, that would be great for
That'd
Batman.
That'd be good for Batman, yeah?
And they've done it.
So what do you think of, you know, we've got, like, a new costume for him. Again, unlike one we've seen in a live-action interpretation.
Best Batman costume.
So pretty much all ticks from there.
I mean, the bat suit that he wears, it's straight out of Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns. It's got the big fat bat on the chest. It's like the biggest in height and bulk Batman we've ever seen.
Oh, like he looks like a Batman. He's got the build.
And that's Affleck. That's it, you know. He's not wearing a muscle chest.
He's not
like
a cartoon there. He's,
you know. Okay. Where do you sit on this? Now, it's pretty controversial that, I mean, Batman does kill in this movie. What are your thoughts on that? And at one time, he does use a machine gun attached to the Batmobile.
Yeah, well, I mean, when I was watching it, there are dream sequences, which I think we'll get to, but, you know, besides those, in the real world, I guess, he's shooting people down, and I'm thinking, why is he killing people? What's going on? But I think, sort of taking a few steps back from, you know, after watching the movie, like you mentioned, he's 40 years old, he's been Batman for many years. Obviously, he's seen some stuff. Like, stuff has gone down. I think he's gotten to a point where his character is like, people just need to die. And for that, I accept it. My only gripe, I guess, is, you know, you're coming out of Man of Steel where, you know, Superman did have that moment where he killed Zod. Well, whatever, we're here. What am I talking about? And, you know, you think Batman would come in and one of the resolving factors would be, no, Superman, you don't kill people. This is a superhero code. This is what you do. And you can't get that with this Batman because he's knocking them out.
My thoughts about Batman are this. He has had a code against killing and he's followed that code, but the weight of not making a difference has affected him. Along with Robin being killed and Superman leveling a city, he hasn't straight up murdered, but was okay with allowing people to die. I think a lot of what was happening, like he was shooting the bad guys' cars or vehicles or whatever, and they were flipping.
They're blowing up and burning and...
I mean, going forward, I think he will readopt his anti-kill code.
His kill code.
Okay, but cast your mind back to the Michael Keaton Batman films.
He was throwing people off buildings.
Batman Returns, you put a bomb down a clown's pants.
Yeah.
Using the exhaust on the Batmobile to set somebody on fire. Batman Begins, you know, the League of Assassins at the beginning. Bruce Wayne burns down the building.
So many ninjas.
They're still people, Jason. To the point being that this is not the first time that Batman is killed.
And that's true.
I mean, I just want to put it in here. I just want to say that I've already mentioned there's inspirations from The Dark Knight Returns. One of the very first things we heard about this movie was it was going to be not like a direct adaption of that story, but it's going to be using a lot of the elements. And everybody got so excited because it is a gritty
And that's what we're Batman. Getting.
And that's what we've been given.
So there's, you know, you can't complain. But like I said, you're exactly right. All this stuff has happened to him from what we can tell from this film. And yeah, he's gotten to a point where he does feel like if people have to die, then they do. If they get in the way of justice and, you know, a better world.
I mean, after all, he's the goddamn Batman. He's not going to take any crap.
Do whatever he wants.
We get a Batcave in this movie.
You do? Which has been absent from the Nolan trilogy.
We got it in the first movie.
We got a cave in the first movie.
Oh, it's a Batcave.
Yeah.
It's a cave. There's bats. He's got his computer.
Yeah. It is a Batcave. He has a computer. I'm good. I'm ready to go.
Okay, so we can tick Batcave. Batmobile.
Yeah,
I don't know why I said it that way. Batmobile.
Batmobile. good.
Like, great, loved it.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's get back to the Batcave. The Batcave, the Batmobile, it's all there.
Re-entering the Batcave when it was damaged, I thought was a great, great scene.
He was driving like an emotionless wreck. Cool scenes.
You brought us back to the Batcave. Is there anything else you wanted to cover at the Batcave?
I just wanted to say both the Batcave and the Batmobile driving into the Batcave all together is glorious Batman visuals. Like, it's...
So while we're here...
It's wonderful.
The Robin costume.
Not as wonderful. Very sad.
And it looked to be the handiwork, the graffiti of the Joker.
Yeah, and like I'm just going to jump in there right now and say it. That would have been great to see on screen in the movie for the first time. But we'd already seen it in photos, in trailers.
That's true, but living in the moment...
living in the moment.
When I'm watching it on the big screen, because I'd seen the trailers more than you had, Jason, I'm just re-seeing things.
Yeah.
Bigger. But I still love seeing
it. You've seen it in context, yeah. Yeah, I guess you let me give a positive spin then. You look at that scene and then you go, what has Jared Leto done?
Yeah.
And I guess you get excited to see his interpretation.
And we know we're going to find out at some stage. The relationship between Bruce Wayne and Alfred Pennyworth. So we have Jeremy Irons as Alfred.
Okay, for about the first 2 minutes of Jeremy Irons on screen, all I could hear was Scar from The Lion King. Once I move past that, excellent. I think Alfred is one of the best parts of this movie. I've just really enjoyed him on screen and the chemistry between the two characters.
That moment really sticks out to me with Alfred. Bruce Wayne hands him a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. I've never seen that in a Batman movie before. Bruce Wayne do something for Alfred. Oh, I guess when he was dying in the later Joel Schumacher movies. But he just, I don't know, it struck home for me. I thought it was a nice scene.
Yeah. He's a changed man.
We've covered his parents. We get to see them gunned down in brilliant fashion.
Although always good to see.
We don't condone violence. But
always good to see parents gunned down.
So we got to see Thomas and Martha Wayne. I think a lot of people were concerned that we were going to see Batman's origin again going into this movie, but we've already covered it. They absolutely nailed it. But dream sequences. This seems to be a big issue that a lot of people have with this movie, whether they just didn't like the sequence or they didn't understand what was happening.
There were a lot of very cool visuals to them. I guess that's probably one of the best things you can say about them. And you do get these fantastical scenes that you wouldn't see in, I guess, the story that they're telling through this film. The only thing I can't shake off is that it's very Zack Snyder-y, if that makes sense.
Perfect sense, but I've just thought of something. 3 minutes into this movie, it was potentially ruined for me, and I was thinking, I don't know if I can continue.
When little young Bruce Wayne falls down the hole.
And he's being lifted up by bats.
I was like, he's
flying around in a circle.
He's effortlessly flying with bats. Yeah.
But then you get the voiceover as Affleck as Bruce stating that, in the dream. I don't have an Affleck in me. I don't know why I did that.
Yeah.
He's stating, like, in the dream, they lifted me. And I'm thinking, thank goodness, because I'm 3 minutes into this thing. It's 2.5 hours long. Don't do this to me.
Yeah, like, you literally go from that amazing opening sequence with his parents to, why is he flying? What's going on? I felt exactly the same way. So I'm glad you brought that up again.
One of the big dream sequences, and unfortunately, this was leaked before the movie, whether it was in toys or the TV spots. Nightmare Batman.
The one with the goggles?
With the goggles, the trench coat.
Like,
I mean,
desert gear.
Visually fantastic. But my jaw just dropped when you could see the parademons.
Yeah, I was
that had me so excited. You got to see the big Omega symbol, which is associated with Darkseid. So we know that Darkseid is coming. And if you're not that familiar with DC Comics and you're more associated with Marvel, think Thanos. A big villain similar, even though Darkseid, I think, was a couple of years before Thanos. But that would be the go-to comparison.
That would be the equivalent, yeah. But things are being planted already. Be they dream sequence or...
I still don't quite... Where were you on this? So how did Batman dream about Darkseid?
Like have a premonition about
it. Yeah. What's your take on that?
Well, I'm assuming it would have to have something to do with the Flash character. That would
be
my guess.
That happens afterwards, though.
But was it related? It was sort of moments after that, wasn't it? Wasn't it that dream that he wakes up from?
Well, the Flash coming, it was almost as if it was like a dream within a dream. So this is Ezra Miller. We're seeing him for the first time as the Flash. He's dressed as the Scarlet Speedster, but then he's wearing like this Mad Max style armor, which I thought looked absolutely
I just saw it as
fantastic.
Like an Iron Man costume.
And he warned Bruce, saying that you were right about him. You must save her. So you're thinking Lois, you must save Lois. But then later in the movie, we'll get into it. You could think, is it Martha that he must save?
Yep.
But either or, he must save a lady in Superman's life to make everything all right. But the Flash coming back and the Flash realizing he's come back to the wrong time. He's too early. That was a great, great scene. But he literally piggybacked the nightmare scene. And again, how is Batman having these premonitions?
Unless there's another... I just can't assume that it's Batman actually having the premonition. It would be someone planting them in his head or making him have them. You know, maybe another metahuman, as they call them, or something later to come.
But then it's almost like Batman dismisses a dream within a dream, like as if maybe the Flash didn't really happen. But then we get to see, as the audience, a piece of paper flying in the background from the effects of the Flash behind Batman. So we know, as the audience, that, yeah, that really did happen.
That's it.
That wasn't a dream. Darkseid was a dream. The Flash wasn't. Now, this is Batman v Superman. We've not yet spoken about Superman.
We should talk about Superman.
So Henry Cavill, we first were introduced, as we said at the beginning, in Man of Steel. What are your thoughts on him in this movie?
Like, I don't have a problem with him as Superman at all. I think he does a bang-up job. He's excellent. What I was looking forward to was, you know, at the end of Man of Steel, you get him putting on the Clark Kent glasses, basically taking on the Clark Kent identity, getting his job at the Daily Bugle. I wanted to see what he could bring to that aspect of the role, which was missing from Man of Steel. And I don't think we got it. He was at the Daily Planet. I might have said Bugle before. Whoops.
No, I'm pretty sure he said Planet.
Oh, thank God for that. But he was just there doing his job. There was no Clark Kent character. And I know I said this about Bruce Wayne, but this more so, you really had an opportunity for him to be, you know, like that very different, uncharismatic character, I guess. And then we didn't get it.
It sounds like what you want, Jason. You want Bruce Wayne v. Clark Kent. Dawn of Justice.
No, I just figured there needed to be that aspect of the two characters.
I did get a Clark Kent, and I do think Cavill, he's really good in the role. Like, I like him as Superman. He's a good Superman.
I think he's a good Superman. Very fun, and he's got the voice for it, the looks. Yeah.
I mean, there's moments in this movie where it generally made me cry, and we'll get to moments, and I'm, you know, big enough to admit it, but there is genuine, for me, tear-jerker moments, and we'll see Kevin Costner return as Jonathan Kent later in the movie. The Superman works in context of this movie. He's not the Superman that I'm familiar with, but he's the Superman from Man of Steel, and he's the Superman that we're going to get in this world.
This is an interpretation of Superman fit for this movie series, this franchise, this universe that they've got. And that's what it is.
Although it's fantastical, they're putting a Superman in like a real world setting. That's what they've been going for. The DC Cinematic Universe, it is, you know, dark and gritty in tone. Yeah, so for this movie, it works. I know it's 18 months after Man of Steel, but just there being a relationship or a love relationship between Lois and Clark, I'd have liked to have seen that happen. Mm. Than just like, look, they're a couple now. She's naked in the bath. He's going to jump in.
Why was she naked in the bath?
Hey, I mean, I'm not going to knock well, it. That's a good scene.
She shouldn't be wearing clothes in the bath. But yeah.
You just answered your own question. So Man of Steel 2, this is not that. No. I do believe we are still going to get that movie. This is something different. Superman's power set, I think they really delivered in this movie. It does a really good job of showing how powerful he really is.
Yeah, there was more, I guess, more heavy lifting, punching and all that kind of jazz. I think they went heavy with the red eyes, like the heat vision and all
they
that.
They used it a lot. Yeah, but it's because the painting him as a villain.
That's it. And like when he uses his heat vision, suddenly he has those like red beaming eyes after.
You know, we're told
it makes him look bad.
We're told the population is divided. Like, you know, you've got people that are for Superman, people that are not. We do get to see some scenes in foreign countries where they are championing Superman, and that's great to see. But when we've got the perspective from America, where the bulk of this movie is set, I don't see a divide. I just see people being afraid and hating Superman. Superman's my boy. I don't want to see people hating him.
Yeah, that's it.
But the American, like, am I wrong? Like, that's how I
No, that's it. That's fair.
Daily Planet. You mentioned it already.
Yep.
It wouldn't be a Superman film without the Daily Planet. Perry White, Lawrence Fishburne returning. I thought it was fantastic.
It's a little bit of comic relief, I think, with him. A few little one-liners and quips from him. Which
one of the one-liners, it's not 1938 anymore. And this is while talking to Kent about people not reading newspapers anymore. As you would know, Superman created in 1938. There is other references in the movie, but that's like one of the rare examples of a bit of humour. Still Daily Planet, I'm not laughing anymore. Because Jimmy Olsen makes a secret appearance, and I missed it first time around. He's not identified by name, and he makes a rather hasty exit right at the beginning. Jimmy Olsen gets shot in the head.
So that definitely was Jimmy Olsen.
That is Jimmy Olsen. It's in the end credits, and we know we're going to get the R-rated cut on Blu-ray DVD, and he is actually referenced as Jimmy Olsen in that extended cut. But again, he's in the end credits. It's Jimmy Olsen.
Like, cool. Like, I thought it was him, and then he died, and I was like, well, that couldn't have been him. That just must have been some other guy with a camera, but that's really sad that he got 3 seconds of screen time and now he's gone. He's a...
I mean, this version of the DC Cinematic Universe, it is heavily influenced by, I'd say in tone, definitely, the Injustice computer game. And early on, Jimmy Olsen gets killed.
Okay, fair enough then.
But you've got to think, like, Olsen, he's such a light character.
Yeah.
And I guess there's just no room in this, you know, this gritty DC universe for a character like Jimmy Olsen.
I guess, I mean, yeah, like you mentioned, the tone, you know, it's dark enough, and I guess he would just bring a little bit too much light. Perry White's already bringing too much comedy.
Secret Identity, you mentioned we do get Clark Kent. I'm completely fine with a secret identity not necessarily working in the real world.
Yeah.
It's a thing I've always loved about superheroes. I guess DC characters seem to use a lot more than Marvel. But I just love it. It's silly. But I like the idea that, you know, even if Superman's face is plastered all over the media and you've got Clark Kent walking around the newsroom.
That's fine.
I love it.
All I meant was that, like, I just wanted him to have that, you know, that goofy sort of... Not Christopher Reeve's sort of goofiness.
Shucks.
But just something different to this, like, I am Superman, powerful, big man kind of thing, you know? Just,
I mean, maybe
a more timid kind of thing. And I just didn't get any of that. And
Cavill is channeling Dean Cain, and he channeled George Reeves for his Clark Kent.
Yeah,
so he's not going for, like, he's not dorky. He's not going to, like, you know, be hunched and walk into doors.
But I guess I wanted an interpretation of that, and I guess you're right. You get a Dean Cain and George Reeves, whatever.
George Reeves, come on.
George Reeves. It is George Reeves.
I was like,
is it George Reeves? Am I going to
get it? It is George Reeves.
Okay, cool.
Okay, Lex Luthor, Jesse Eisenberg. Now, going into the movie, when he was first cast, I was worried. Watching the trailers, I was still worried. But for me, he pulled it off. I really like the unstable approach to the character, and he's a now Lex Luthor. He's a tech guy. And Lex Luthor, he's always evolved through the years. You've got the mad scientist. You've got the businessman. You know, whoever the evil is in the world, that's who Lex Luthor is. And the tech guys, I guess, where Zack Snyder's pointing the finger.
The nerds are taking over the world. That's what it is. Now, you're probably going to think this is me being, this is a negative, but hold out for what I'm going to say.
How dare you?
So I'm watching this Lex Luthor on screen. Now I'm enjoying it. I'm liking it. But now thinking about it, I'm like, he's not the Lex Luthor that, you know, he's not the sinister, evil Lex Luthor. He's just a crazy, neurotic, almost Mark Zuckerberg, you know, from The Social Network. It's him, but, like, crazy. And that's what it is. And a little part of me is like, well, is that what we wanted? But I enjoyed watching him, even though it was, you know, semi, like, is he channeling the Joker? Has he got something like that in him? But I enjoyed watching him on screen.
We're going to see an evolution of Lex Luthor. Like, how he ends up at the end, he's pushed over the edge. I mean,
I was like,
he's
bald?
He's different. He's not just bald. And he's shaved. He doesn't lose his hair. I thought there could be some sort of experiment. Okay. I don't kind of want to jump all over. I'm trying to, like, just talk about this in a linear fashion. But the fact that Lex Luthor, just going to chuck it in here, he cuts off General Zod's fingerprints, and that's how he's able to control Kryptonian technology. I thought that was weak. You'd think they'd have more defenses than that. I thought that was, and then he gets like, oh, he gets to see.
I mean, like he had
so many different species and learn all about Kryptonian history. I'd like to think Kryptonian defenses will be a lot, I don't know, more to scratch.
But I guess we'll probably address like his. Well, I mean, like, yeah, in terms of like him learning all that stuff, you'd think his plan and his motives and, you know, his big scheme would be more involved than just like, I'm going to make him fight and I'm going to create this big monster to kill him.
And we've got a Batman that, you know, so you've said the Batman, he is manipulated by Lex Luthor, but he is a mad Batman. He was so mad.
But it seemed like Batman was already keen.
But he's so mad, he's not thinking straight. So I'm okay with him.
I'm okay with him being manipulated.
I'm okay with him being manipulated from Lex out the way because he's just blinded by rage for this alien that's brought down destruction on the planet.
Which is fair.
When we get Kryptonite in this movie, I think, everybody assumed, you know, whether you've seen it in the trailers or you've read The Dark Knight Returns, Kryptonite is used, Batman v Superman. There's no other way those two can go toe-to-toe.
Without the Kryptonite.
You need Kryptonite.
And that's fair.
We got it in this movie. And I thought they used it well. Lois Lane in this movie. Is she strong? Is she weak? Are you a fan?
You basically get the same character coming back from Man of Steel. It's not that her character's weak in any way. I would just think that she kind of is in the movie for the sake of having a Lois Lane character in the movie. She's sort of following leads and, you know, like she's got this story which is somehow connected to the rest of the overarching story in the film. But, you know, everything sort of like fits into place without her discovering all of that stuff anyway. So in a way, I'm almost like, does she need to really be in the movie?
She does, because she gets the ball rolling in the first place, because in the scenes in Africa at the very beginning of the movie, Lois Lane being there, Superman coming to her rescue, that was a setup. And Superman was blamed, even though people had died with bullets. Like, I don't know what the thought Superman did.
It seems like he's always just there to save her. He didn't save Jimmy, did he? All those other, like, half a dozen people got shot seconds
earlier. He didn't, and that was the first point in the movie. And I was, you know, we've seen Man of Steel. Most of us have seen it many times. And I did think that the first time we was going to see Superman in the movie, I didn't know it was Jimmy at the time, but I thought that guy was going to be saved by Superman. Yeah. But that's why Lois is there. And she does weave in and out of the movie. And, she, you know, that's a thing for her. Like,
That is her character, isn't it?
But it is, yeah. Superman always saves Lois Lane. Always. But her point in the movie, they can't be together because if he's too focused on her, he can't protect the rest of the world. So I think she works and she weaves in and out of the movie. I think when we get to the finale, I guess we can come back to that.
But she's literally there for the sake of a damsel in the distress being there, yeah.
We'll come back. Wonder Woman. Okay.
Here we go.
Now, wow. Even though she doesn't have many scenes in the movie, she was a highlight whenever she showed up. I thought she was just absolutely phenomenal on screen.
What I take from her is I want to see more.
Yeah,
and they don't go into it too much. They don't reveal too much.
And they don't need to because they're making a movie right now.
Exactly.
After Suicide Squad, we're going to get to see Wonder Woman. The World War One photo with her and Chris Pine as Steve Trevor, and she's got like the Wonder Woman outfit, which is wearing like an army jacket on top. Oh, amazing.
Now, again, would that have been the most amazing, mind-blowing thing to be like, what is going on if you didn't already know, you know, the details for the Wonder Woman movie?
Oh, of course. But I can say that for any movie, though.
Everything,
like,
yeah.
Any movie, regardless of the genre. Like, yeah, if you knew nothing, like, wouldn't it have been good if you saw that for the first time? Well, of course. That would have been amazing, like, to have seen.
But really think about it. That would have been an epic moment.
Like, imagine if we didn't even know Wonder Woman was in this movie. And watching Batman v Superman going at it. You've got Doomsday. Then all of a sudden, Wonder Woman.
There's just this female who's wandering around and, you know, it's like, that you don't mention her by name at all. And then she's like, what? She's Wonder Woman.
But everything works well, that character. The costume, Gal Gadot is Wonder Woman.
She plays it well, and I don't think anyone should be knocking her. She's knocking it out of the park. That's what she's doing.
The V. The V of the movie, Jason. The reason for the conflict. Do you think it's a big enough reason for Batman to go up, or Batman to want to kill Superman?
I mean, it's everything that we've had years to speculate on what the motive would be, and it is literally what we thought it would be.
But can I be honest with you? the 10-minute fight when Batman and Superman are going at it, I'm watching it and, you know, enjoying the movie, you know, I'm just going along with it. And then as soon as they start kicking the crap out of each other, I just like think, I don't know if I want this.
Why are they fighting?
I don't know if
Stop
I want
it.
I like these characters. And all of a sudden you've got Batman hitting Superman over the head with a sink. And I'm thinking, oh no.
Like, yeah. It was sort of like, it's not so much the fight you want to see, but, you know, the little geek in me is like, I'm seeing Batman and Superman on screen and I'm just in awe, you know, like, it's amazing.
It was a visual spectacle, like, and it did not disappoint in that. Like, it was a fantastic scene. A lot of people seem to wanted more from that scene, like a longer scene. But I feel as though
all the conflict was throughout the film. It wasn't just it was just a 10-minute fight.
Well, come on, everybody was waiting for the fight. The actual fight, that a lot of people would have been waiting for that. Like, that's the big moment. And I thought they nailed it. Like, I thought, you know, it was like a fight where at times when you're wincing and looking away.
But I think a realistic fight between Superman and Batman really shouldn't last longer than 10 minutes. Like, one of them would get the upper hand and then that would be it. So, I mean, it was probably a good time. And, yeah, had moments.
Save Martha. Now, before the fight, the reason why Superman goes in guns blazing, you've got Lex Luthor, you know, the puppet master, manipulating the situation. He sent the KG Beast, who's like, you know, the Russian bad guy, comic book character, to take down or to kidnap Martha.
Was he Crossbones from Captain America?
No, it's KG Beast. Oh, do you mean the actor?
Yeah.
No, different actor.
Obviously not the same character from Captain America. Different actor? Oh, they all look the same.
Stay on point. So Martha Kent.
I want to talk about Captain America.
Clark's. No, we're to talk about a DC
movie.
Okay,
fine. It's one time.
So Martha has been taken. I could gladly, like, I mean, I did. Okay, so I'm showing my cards early here, but I did enjoy this movie. But if I was to go back in and, like, say, okay, so you can watch from a certain point for the rest of your life, it would be from the fight everything to the end of the movie. And Martha being taken, and then Clark having to make that decision at taking down Batman to save his mum. I thought it was brilliant.
I feel all they had to do was just, they just had to talk it out. For like,
it was such a powerful scene. And then the reason why the fight eventually stops after 10 minutes, and I'd always recognise as a kid that both Superman and Batman, their parents are both called Martha.
But I feel like making it like a story point is
perfect.
No,
I absolutely love it.
Completely opposite.
Why?
Making a joke out of it.
No, they are not making a joke out of it. Right? Because up until that moment, so Lois rushing in to defend Superman as well, Mad Batman has only seen Superman as an alien threat. In that moment, not only is he finding out that he has family and people that care about him.
As a mother, a Mrs.
It humanizes Superman. And for Batman, that wasn't able to save his mother. And when he first became Batman, Bruce Wayne was like, what happened to me? I will never let happen to anybody else ever again. And it's about to happen to Superman.
All of that is good because, obviously, you know, like you're saying, it humanizes him. And that's why Batman steps back and goes, oh, crap. He's just a man. Well, he's not just a man, but he has a human element to him. He's a person first.
I mean, this is a movie. It's a 2.5-hour movie. So they can't, like, if it was a TV show, they'd really be able to build the relationship between Batman and Superman.
Yeah.
I think with the time they had, I thought a bond was made in that moment. And then Superman being able to trust Batman to save his mother so he could go on to the bigger threat, I thought was just brilliant.
But my point being, what if Clark Kent's mother was named Susan?
But it wasn't. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Superman would have been humanized. But
basically,
maybe it was the name Martha that just snapped Batman out of being just so mad all the time. But either way, what happened. And then we've got that fantastic takedown scene, like the best visual fighting Batman I have ever seen in live action.
All of Batman's fights were pretty good. But I guess, to make a fair point, despite the Martha thing, the whole controversy there, I like that was the resolution, as opposed to, oh, there's a bigger threat, which I assumed would be Doomsday, and that's when they go, let's stop fighting, let's go fight Doomsday, because that would have just been a cheap cop-out.
Yeah, so it was
a human decision that Bruce Wayne made to be like, no, I'm going to stop fighting.
And I'm paraphrasing here, but when Batman does save Martha, and he says something along the lines of, I'm a friend of your son. a recent friend of your son, edge that I thought as much. The Cape. That's again, it. Just like Perry White, you know, a little bit of humour from Martha Kent.
Like, she almost died. Let's throw a joke in there.
I thought that all of that was just absolutely amazing. Doomsday. So the creation of Doomsday. Now, again, this is another thing. Like Lex Luthor, based on the trailers, I'm not liking the look of this Doomsday. But as soon as Doomsday started to evolve and the bones was breaking out of the skin and he was looking just like my comic book, I really liked it. Now, there's a lot of negativity around the visual of Doomsday, and I've never really been a big fan of big CGI villains.
And unfortunately, that's what it is.
But for this movie, I completely bought it, and I liked Doomsday.
It needed
to be
a big epic showdown. And what do we get? A big epic showdown.
That's exactly right. Like for me, this movie, it landed the third act. Superhero films don't always achieve this. Like they'll just whimper off, or it's just like, oh, okay, so that was good. It happened.
Or very quick, you know, like climax.
But this movie, I'd say the third act is the strongest part of the whole movie.
Well, I wouldn't say it's the strongest. It's hard to really say at this point. There's a lot of sort of...
Well, we're kind of doing a review, so it's the perfect time.
I guess. I don't know where I sit.
Okay, you don't. That's my claim. Like, for me, the third act, like, I'm going to go and watch this movie again, and I'm going to really look forward to seeing that again.
I'm thinking, like, to say it isn't the best is to say that the first and second act are stronger, and I'm not quite sure...
Well, that's kind of what you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
Which, for me, it delivered on the big superhero action. Now, Man of Steel, it was a big movie. It was aliens fighting in the sky. And then this movie, even though it's the fallout of that, it starts small and builds, and you've got
it Batman. It starts like a political thriller.
Yeah, and you've got Batman is going after small-time crooks, and, you know, he's gradually working his way up the food chain. But then it ends in this big spectacle. I think having Batman in there in a movie with Superman and Wonder Woman, you couldn't start like they finished. So I think he escalated at the right level. So we know that moving forward, you know, Suicide Squad this year, Wonder Woman, then Justice League, it's all, for me, going to continue to escalate.
It's going to keep bigger. It was a perfect moment for Wonder Woman to rock up in full costume and kick some ass.
Yeah.
That's it. You had your trinity of your superheroes. There you go.
And whenever they were on screen, we had the fantastic soundtrack, Hans Zimmer and Junkie XL. Phenomenal.
I'm digging the Wonder Woman theme. I really, really like it.
A really strong theme. I think they used it quite a lot pretty much whenever she was on screen.
I might have missed it. It was more subtle until she was in full costume. Then
it was when she was... Yeah, only when she was in full costume. Like whenever she came back on screen, they played it again. And I loved that. That's... Christopher Reeve, John Williams, like whenever you see him in that costume, you've got the theme. And that's something I've spoke about before. I'm missing from modern superhero films, that classic theme. And, you know, all three of them have a signature theme. You know, Superman's got the carryover from Man of Steel. But the themes that I've established in this movie will continue into their individual movies.
Yeah.
So you've got that connective signature.
But then you hear it and you're reminded of Man of Steel and then you feel a little dirty inside.
Man, I love that soundtrack so much. Like, honestly, I love it. Yeah. 100%. Like, Man of Steel, such a strong soundtrack. So the fact that they carried over that
thing. It's not John Williams, and I guess I can't shake
that off.
It's not.
It's not, and that's fine. And it can't be that. Like, I'm happy with it being something else. You know, we've got a movie. It's dark. It's gritty. It's somber. We've touched upon a little bit of comedic relief. Not a lot, but a little bit. Is in there, but we're essentially looking at three movies in one. So we've got Batman, Superman, and a Justice League prequel. Do you think that's too much, or do you think it's a decent balance?
I think it could have been a decent balance. I have huge problems with the way this movie was. I'm holding up for the extended cut and all that, but I think this cut that we get is messy. Either editing problems, pacing problems, you know, you've got slow moments and then quick, and then you've got this story and that story. You do. It's a Batman movie. It's a Superman movie. You get a trailer for Wonder Woman. That's what you get. And then you get the prequel for Justice League. You get all these scenes that are unrelated to everything that's going on.
Okay, leading up to, we get the Justice League cameos. So we get Aquaman, Cyborg, and The Flash. Now, I've got to admit, my biggest disappointment was how little we see of Aquaman. This character has an action figure. many action figures, yet he's briefly in this movie. So later on we spoke about, or earlier on, we spoke about how Lois Lane does weave in and out of this movie. So it's decided that the only way to take down Doomsday is with kryptonite, which obviously we found Superman is vulnerable to kryptonite. There is a kryptonite-tipped spear that had been put together, what was it, by Batman?
Yep.
And he was essentially going to kill Superman with it. Changed his mind, and Lois Lane takes it away, and she chucks it in the water, like under, you know, under the building,
you were thinking
in the water.
Aquaman's going
to... I'm thinking, and she's drowning. We'd already seen Superman fight the bigger fight by allowing another hero rescue his mother. I thought he was going to leave Lois and Aquaman was going to rescue. I mean, it was a water scene, for God's sake. That's like Aquaman's thing, water. And he didn't
show. Makes sense,
doesn't it? See, he got a very small cameo and Superman goes, he saves Lois, she's okay, and then he gets back in the big fight. We'll come back to that. Cameos. So Cyborg, we got to see his origin over minutes and they pretty much summed it up nicely. Just like the opening with Thomas and Martha Wayne, we got a short Cyborg movie. We got to see his origin in full with Mother Box, which is a transport alien device used by the people of Apocalypse. So you've got Apocalypse, the New Gods. So it's all connected to Darkseid.
I'm learning all of this for the first time. It's fantastic.
It's all DC Comics stuff. This movie is littered with so much DC Comics. Like we talked about The Flash coming back in time. That's pure comic book. There's so much of that in here.
No, I'm really... We talked about the Flash scene where, you know, he sort of come after Batman has his little dream sequence thing and he's there and he's screaming things and he's telling of like a prophecy, all this kind of crap's going on. You know, wow, that's the Flash. Where'd he come from? What's going on? This is incredible. Cool cameo. I just feel like the cameos that they gave to Aquaman and Cyborg, yeah, you do get a Cyborg origin story, which is cool. Aquaman, very lazy. Oh, you see him swimming. Cool.
It kind of looked like, so Jason Momoa as Aquaman, it looked more like he was holding his breath than breathing underwater.
Yeah, it's like, what did that? It was like, oh, some guy's swimming and he's got really long, dark hair.
And we've spoke about it, well, just recently, the, you know, the Flash cameo, but there was also the second Flash cameo.
Yeah.
Where he was in the convenience store and he stopped a robbery.
Basically saves the day.
But I don't know how I feel about Barry Allen with a ponytail.
I have real issues with Ezra Miller. I still, it doesn't sit well, but I'm going to give the guy a chance. But that whole, the cameos were in an email.
But I'm fine with that because Lex Luthor has been, he's been investigating the metahumans on the planet and that information had been stolen in part by Batman and Wonder Woman. I'm fine with that's how Wonder Woman is seeing the files. It's a little bit weird that Lex Luthor had given each file the character's
like
logo.
Like a symbol. Like, how did he know? It felt like if this was a Marvel movie, which I'm going to try to avoid not to mention or try to compare to it again, but it felt like that scene was a Marvel end credit scene. Just so displaced.
Let me just put this film in context of Marvel. So, Man of Steel, Iron Man.
Yep.
Right? Now, after, in that same year, I won't include The Incredible Hulk, which was their second movie. But really, so if you're looking at Marvel Studios' equivalent of Batman v Superman, Iron Man 2. They did the same thing. They tried to shoehorn a lot of information.
And I can't defend that in any way.
But I just want to put it out there because it's hard, you're right, not to have a DC Marvel comparison.
They learned not to do that, or at least not to that extent.
And DC have got time to learn.
I guess. But surely they're looking at their model and being like, oh, let's not...
But they're setting up Justice League. We're going to get a different flavour with Suicide Squad. We're going to get more of that Batman that we like.
Yep.
And then Wonder Woman, she's going all the way back to World War One.
So Wonder Woman, you know, in summary, like before we, you know, sort of really wrap this up, but Wonder Woman, big tick, looking forward to a movie. Batman, big tick, looking forward to his movie. A Superman sequel?
On Superman. I can't believe we're dancing around this. He dies. Superman dies. This is something that Hollywood has been trying to do for the longest time, to kill Superman.
Well, I remember when, you know, before Man of Steel was coming out, they were talking about, you know, how they're going to reboot Superman after Superman Returns. There was the notion of doing, across three films, like a trilogy, a 9-hour piece of the life and death of Superman. So his origin story in film one, the death of Superman, and then the return of Superman. I think they're doing it. They've pretty much done it here. Origin,
so Superman,
death, he'll be back next time.
So he has the kryptonite spear and he stabs Doomsday. He's weakened by the kryptonite and Wonder Woman, in amazing fashion, cut off Doomsday's arm. But in its place, he grew a bone spike and he stabs Superman through the chest. Kills him. He's dead. But this is where I am with Superman. That we are getting a different, more gritty, you know, we're saying that Batman's mad. Superman's mad in this movie too. They're both mad. But we're getting a different Superman. But this is what I believe. And this might just be in my head. The moment before, you know, well, during the big fight, when Superman says to Lois that he needs to do this because this is his planet, he's made the choice that he is going to do whatever it takes to save the planet. I believe the Superman that I see as being Superman is who he is becoming in that moment. He's been
when
trying
he'll sacrifice
to,
himself.
He's been trying to live up to the beliefs of a dead man, of Jonathan Kent. He's been trying to live up to a dead man's ideals. And it seems like towards the end of this movie, he's finding his own way and he makes the ultimate sacrifice. And yes, he dies. And I think this is a great opportunity for when this character does return, because he will, we know he will, when he returns, he can be that beacon. He can be the Superman that everybody wants to see.
So all my gripes with Superman, you reckon he's still coming?
I think he's coming. So we get two funerals. We get the funeral for Clark Kent, funeral for Superman. No one's quite connecting the dots. There's two dead people in this movie, but it's okay. Secret identities.
I think more people died. We only just saw the two.
Well, notably, these are people that are called, like, you know, oh, Clark's gone, Supes, he's gone. But we get to see when Superman is in his coffin, and just like when he first takes flight in Man of Steel and the ground or the soil lifts around, we get to see that. And I was like thinking, as I'm sat in the cinema watching it, please, I want movement. I want something. The dirt rising was enough.
It's like I guess he didn't need it. You knew he was coming back.
I needed it.
It's good that they were like,
I knew he was coming back. We all knew, but I just needed to see at the end of that movie, just like, you know, spoiler, Dark Knight Rises, we get to see that Bruce Wayne, he's okay.
You want something definitive.
Yes, and I got that in this movie. Yeah, I thought it was great. And then you had the scene between Bruce Wayne and Diana Prince at the funeral. And I think Zack Snyder has been saying he's going for like a seventh samurai. He wanted Batman to be the one that goes off and forms the Justice League. And I like the idea of him finding people more powerful than him, as in like he'd need them more than Superman would need them. And then whether it's going to be Justice League Part 1 where Superman comes back, but I don't want Superman to come back under the influence of Darkseid and be an evil Superman, because we've already got, like, we've had a bad-tempered Superman.
And with those dream sequences, we saw what a, you know, an evil Superman would be like.
It was a dream sequence, but we got to see Superman full-on killing, heat vision, burning people alive. So my hope...
Which is cool.
No, see, this is not cool for
no,
me.
No, not cool.
But I'm hoping that, you know, we're going to get good Superman come back, and he's going to come back in a moment where the heroes, Flash, Wonder Woman, Batman, Cyborg, Aquaman, all these characters together aren't enough to stop the threat. And then here he comes. That's just going to be incredible.
I think I'm ready for Superman to come big, strong, confident in who he is. I think, yeah, like, obviously these films have the drama and stuff and him questioning what he's supposed to be. I think, yeah, him coming back, resurrecting, is the perfect opportunity to really give us that. Please. Justice League.
So I think that brings us to our rating.
It's been a highly anticipated feature and it's been a long time coming. All the nerdy parts of me sat in awe as I finally watched these two icons, or rather three, including Wonder Woman, come together on the big screen. So basically, like, there's so many moments to be loved here. Action scenes that are the answer to a superhero movie. They'll thrill you. The entertainment factor is up there despite some slow moments. There's an overuse of CGI and I suppose comic book movie predictability may be minor faults to consider with this, but the movie also suffers from a very heavy loading of just stuffing. There's so much going on and happening that unfortunately it does feel like more than one movie. There has not been a good enough balance to basically bring the two characters together. I'm breaking it down to editing, pacing, and perhaps the desire to pave way for the Justice League franchise, film series, all that. I can basically best describe the movie as messy, but there's so much to love, but it's an exhausting mess at the same time. But oh my God, I loved it, but also very wary.
So what's your score?
a 3 out of 5 popcorn combos.
Okay. There's a certain expectation associated with characters and comics, but by no means should someone else's view ruin it for others. And I just want to put that up front because I've heard a lot of people personally that are not watching this movie because they have heard a bad review.
It's someone else's opinion.
And, that's right.
And always, these opinions are ours.
Yeah, like, do not listen. Just be able to make up your own minds. Okay, the problem with the movie is people won't feel the same way I feel if they're not a comic fan or comic book movie fan. They might feel like they got lost. Dream sequences, there's many things in there that I personally got, yet I know other people didn't. Without reading the comics, I think people should at least watch Man of Steel to give them an idea of what's going on. Overall, the movie was fantastic. The bell has been rung. So we know DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers, they're intending to keep at least 2 superhero films coming each year through 2020, with Wonder Woman, The Flash, Aquaman, and Green Lantern headlining their own titles. I, for one, cannot wait. I absolutely loved watching this movie on the big screen. 4 out of 5 combos.
Okay, that's fair.
Now, closing out with some trivia. The film was originally pitched in August 2001. The script had Bruce Wayne's fiancée slain by the Joker, which sends him on a revenge rampage and brings him into conflict with Superman, who tries to stop him. The film was shelved, but in the movie I Am Legend, a teaser poster for the film The Superman Shield Inside a Bat was seen in the opening scene.
Now, if only we got this movie in 2012, that would have been pretty epic. Bit of I Am Legend tie in there.
Too true. So if you like what you're hearing, follow us on Facebook or Twitter. This and all of our other podcasts are available on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. We also have our website, www.thatfilmstewpodcast.weebly.com.
Come to the coast, we'll get together, have a few laughs.